Measuring yourself is easy in some respects, like your age, your height, your weight, but not so easy in others, like your character, integrity, and maturity. But those are the real measurements we should be focusing on. Your quantitative info doesn't define who you are, it's your qualitative info that does. But growth doesn't just happen. It takes intentional accountability on your part. So welcome to The Measuring Post, a place where we can learn and grow together.
Hello and welcome to another edition of The Measuring Post. My name is Joe Massa, the host of The Measuring Post, and today I've got a really cool, very inspiring story. If you've been following along with the show up to this point, you know that we've had several people come on the show talking about their either current cancer diagnoses or somebody that is also been in remission for many years. But we have another kind of hybrid person in this space because his story is very unique, really, really inspiring. And the way that he got himself into a healthier remission state of cancer freedom is really cool. I'll let him explain all of that. But representing a company called Quale Vita, which he informed me before this interview means quality of life in Latin, to my left is Mr. Georges Cordoba. How are you, sir?
Very good, Joe. And thank you for having me on your show.
Yeah, I appreciate you taking the time to come on and share your story, which is really an inspiring one and one I'm very, very excited to hear about because you kind of fell into this. Obviously, the cancer diagnosis took you by storm. We'll get into that in a minute. But let's go back before you even had that diagnosis. You're a father of five. You were a 25-year veteran as a chief technology officer and probably making lots of money. Life was great. And all of a sudden, how did you get to this stage where you found out you were ill?
Yeah. Well, you couldn't say it better. Oh, I cannot, you know, say it better than you just said it. But yes, I started my career. I came to the States. Actually, I'm from Venezuela, from South America, and my parents come from Greece and from Spain. They migrated to South America after World War II, and they met there. The two families met there. You know, what's interesting is that on my Greek side of the family, and I have to say this because it has a lot to do with our minds and our psyche and what, you know, remember The Secret and all those documentaries talking about how we attract sometimes what we don't want because the mind is just amazing, and I'll explain in a little bit. But as I remember seeing my Greek grandfather died of cancer. He got cancer, and I don't even remember. I was 4 years old, but I know that he passed away from cancer. Then his brother, like a couple of years later. Then my grandmother. Everything, all of this, I'm talking from the Greek side of the family. My grandmother, two of her three sisters passed of cancer. And then my godfather, he was my mother's cousin, also Greek, also died of cancer, passed from cancer. And all along like that, a few more relatives. Then my uncle, my mother's brother, passed from cancer at 55. Okay, he was, and also my godfather, he was about 59, 60. And then 3 weeks after my mother, my dear mother, passed of cancer as well, I was diagnosed with a disease, with a malignant melanoma. But I had to say that because, you know, I'm here I am striving in my career, my wife as well, five kids, we're feeling so blessed, we're people of faith, but everything is going great. You know, I was managing to do some stuff. Like I at one point, the company, I started with IBM, but then I went with Accenture. And they actually wanted me to move more into the management, into the path of becoming a partner or associate partner in the beginning. So they paid 75%. They gave me a scholarship to go and get my MBA at the University of Miami. So, you know, everything was set, you know, my career, the kids, we would take them, you know. While I was doing the MBA, I was their soccer coach. I'm an NCAA Division I player for, and that's how I came to the States with a full right to play tennis for New Mexico State University. And they paid my bachelor's degree in computer science. So that was really cool. And, you know, being an athlete, particularly in tennis. But all this stuff has a lot to do with my survival. So one time, 3 weeks, like I said, I couldn't even mourn my mother. And my kids loved my dear, their dear grandma. You know, they were really going, you know, through a rough time. My youngest, our only girl, was 7. The other 4 were between 8 and 13. A pair of twins in the middle, all boys. So, by the way, that also created a lot of extra anxiety and a little bit of fear, you know, looking at these kids. And now daddy, at the age of 42, 3 weeks after daddy's mom passes, now he has a disease. So it wasn't really, nobody wants to hear a diagnosis of cancer. But, it, you know, in my case, being an athlete, I was still playing tournaments. I took the kids to camping. I mean, it was just, let's say, a blessed, beautiful life in Miami, Florida. Although now I live in the southwest again, right there in the town, right here in the town where I went to school. The kids are already out with grandparents. But when I was diagnosed, I was on my third or fourth year of being a CTO. I had a great career, you know, and when I became client partner, before I was asked to be a CTO, I was recruited. We did some great projects, you know, for Royal Caribbean, for celebrity cruises, and I was a client partner taking care of that. It was in the dot-com area, but one of the partners from Accenture left and recruited some of us, and, you know, he wanted me to take care of what he called the anchor clients, because we were going, you know, we were actually focusing on startups, but we needed some revenue, some good revenue to have a base. So, you know, so we could really do marketing and stuff. So I went to the brick and mortars and stayed there, since that was my background. But I got diagnosed. And Joe, it's this is it is really something that it came by storm. I was surprised. Like I said, I couldn't even mourn my mother, but I had no idea, obviously, personally and with the family, that was a shock. But how that was going to, you know, basically interrupt my CTO chores. So that created more stress on me, because all of a sudden, 3 months into my, I had my first surgery of 10. I went through 10 years battling malignant melanoma and 10 surgeries, including 4 craniotomies, because the disease metastasized to my brain. So I had 8 tumors. They were able to rid of some with gamma knife, but I had 4 craniotomies in this whole experience. But going back to the CTO part, it came a moment that I said, look, it's either continuing to do this and losing some key employees, some key resources, because I wasn't there so much. So I had to make a decision there and say, you know what, I'm gonna resign. I'm gonna stay there for a while until we bring a good replacement, and then I'm just gonna go home and work on my survival. And that's what I did. It took about 3 years, you know, because I was stubborn. I said, no, I can do it, I can do it. But it came to a point that I had to be honest with myself and also my colleagues, and said, you know, I'm not the Georges that you guys are expecting right now. I can't be. This stuff is very aggressive. Melanoma, by the way, is the most aggressive form of cancer, more even than pancreas. And so I made that decision. I went home and I started, you know, to get some gigs. I had some good contacts. So just to work from home, do some research stuff or preparing some key presentations for other executives. And But it came to a point, like I said, that I just didn't feel like doing anything but just trying to improve, you know, my situation. And, I had to really deal with my kids' emotions. You know, all of a sudden now they're thinking, oh, my gosh, dad is going to go, like they call my mother, Yaya. But, you know, I was there. And in my book, which, by the way, is a best-selling book, it became a bestseller on day one, January 26, 2021. I launched it in English first, and then 4 months later in Spanish, which also made it a bestseller. But there, there's a part in one of the chapters where I'm very thankful for all the angels that came into my life through that process, including my kids. I asked them, each of them, if they could write something about how they were feeling as I was battling this for 10 years. They went, the four older ones, they went through the teen years with daddy being sick and with surgeries going back and now in the brain. And in year eight, it was close to year eight, after my second craniotomy, which was from ear to ear here, it was 10 surgeries, like I told you. I was the third and fourth surgeries. They extracted in between the two sides of my neck 45 lymph nodes. The first one, Joe, was right, you know, basically they saw that I had some, they did a biopsy behind my ear. I had something very hard there, and it was an infected, positive for melanoma, a lymph node. So they decided to take all the branches, and as they were doing that, there were three of them behind one of the muscles in my neck that they couldn't get to. So they made a decision to just get rid of that muscle, and so they were able to take the three lymph nodes, and those three out of the 20, those three out of 23 were the ones that were positive. I'm glad that they did that, because it's so aggressive, the disease, that probably if they left them there, we'll not be talking right now. So I was pretty lucky along this whole thing. But what happened, Joe, was I started this loop, this vicious cycle of, okay, you know, the appearance of the cancer, surgery, treatment, remission, recurrence again, surgery, treatment, remission, a different treatment. They kept trying, you know, melanoma was not, and it's still, pretty much all cancers, but melanoma, they had not really got a grip of it. And so they were trying all kinds of stuff. They kind of worked for different clients, patients in different areas of the United States. And so, but it was tiring, and obviously a financial tsunami. I mean, by year seven, you know how expensive this stuff is. My insurance had pretty much, maxed out. And so, they were still covering the surgeries, but everything else was on my wife and I. And my income was pretty much down to nearly zero. My wife found herself being a caregiver of five, and then six, because I really, the treatment for me was really, it was tough. So on year eight, after my second craniotomy, they gave me these pills, which, by the way, it was oral chemo on capsules, and each capsule, and I'll tell you, it doesn't come, the price of everything else. I tried some other things that I told the doctor. I went to Google and I said, look, they have this trial. It's a peptide and this. Let's try this. He will go and try. You know, oncologists, by the way, they, first of all, they're not nutritionists. They're not psychologists. They're not acupuncturists. They're not massage therapists. They just know one thing, and not only that, they're busy. They have, maybe a list at one given time of 50 patients that they're going through. So they don't remember you. It's not like they, oh, let's see how George is. Let's call him. No. The next time they'll talk to you is when you go for your appointment. So if you realize that, and I read a book from one of my employees, gave me the book, It's Not About the Bike, with Lance Armstrong, when he was going through cancer. And it really helped me a lot, because he's the one that said, man, own your disease. Don't lose the power to your doctor, which, by the way, and this is something that I say, we are actually hiring this person. He's your employee or she's your employer. It's not the other way around, but somehow, and this is one of the 13 rules of the mind in the West, and I go back to close the loop on the other thing, but one of the 12 rules of the mind is that the mind goes to what is familiar. And for us in the West, what is familiar when you get cancer is, let's go running to an oncologist. There's no other option in our minds or in our family minds. It's what we know, which is wrong, but it's what we know. It's one of the rules of the mind. Now, the good news is that there's other 12 rules that offsets that. And if people understand that, and they understand that the power is from within and healing is from in the inside out, which is what I do with my clients, things change. And I don't try to advocate, you know, to say, hey, look, stop this stuff. It's not going to work. I don't do that because of that first rule of the mind. I say, look, if we do the work, but you have to do the work, you know, an intention without action becomes an illusion. And it's going to happen now, the 1st of January. Everybody, New Year's resolution in March, you know, it was an illusion. So on year 8, I decided to go the natural route. I took these pills on my 6th one. It was Monday through Friday, take a break on the weekend, and then do the same for 4 weeks. But on my 6th one, my second Monday, man, I thought this stuff was really going to kill me. It's almost like I was on speed, you know, just, you know, shaking, sweating, and, you know, kind of like, you know, being on the roof or so. I just, and my heart was going really, palpitating really fast. My wife took my pulse, and I got scared. But I also said, man, this is not working. It's been 8 years in this loop, you know, surgery, treatment, remission, surgery, treatment. So I took a leap of faith. By that time, I've had already stopped being a CTO, but I was doing gigs at home. And I have doctors in the family, as a matter of fact, and one of them, a surgeon that I met, tennis player, in the back, on the credits in the book, he says, man, George proved us all wrong. All of us were saying, don't stop this conventional stuff. But I did. I knew something inside was telling me, this is not working for me. It's just not working for me, and I don't want to live my life like this and having my family going through this stuff. Another surgery. The last four were in my brain. Actually, not wrong about that. I had two more in my gluteus. Imagine how this thing is very unpredictable, melanoma. My last two surgeries, which I didn't do any treatment after that, were in my gluteus muscle. And that was in July 2012. And but I did jump out of the traditional stuff. And the moment I did that, like I say, I'm a person of faith. I went to an altar in a little chapel at the church that we were going. And, you know, I went to the front. I kneeled and I said, look, I started crying. And I said, look, I surrender. Lord, I surrender, because these guys are trying everything they can, but it's not working. And so, you know, I just spent a good time there basically surrendering and letting everything out. Years of stuff that I was holding there to try to stay strong in front of my kids, things like that. So, but the moment that I made that decision and I talked to my oncologist, who's a man, he's a saint. I know that he was busy. You know, it's interesting when this is in the Sylvester Cancer Center in Miami, Florida, and the hospital is the University of Miami Hospital. But, you know, one thing that we actually all want is somebody to recommend you a top-notch oncologist. And that's what happened to me. But you know what? A top-notch oncologist doesn't even have time to go to the bathroom. He's got so many patients, you know. So in a way, that is not a positive thing for us, you know. And I have to share with the audience and with you one amazing stat that I just did a talk. I'm a public speaker as well. I go around and as a nutritionist and a holistic health coach and transformational coach and hypnotherapist, basically when I jumped ship, I started to become more, you know, I went into health and wellness. So I became a Reiki master and a bunch of stuff, all to better serve my clients. And I was invited to go to a summit this past September in Ontario, in Toronto. And they asked me to bring some of the state of health in the U.S. and in Canada, which Canada is pretty similar, but they have a much smaller population. But the U.S., I have to basically, this is what's going on in the United States. 48%, almost 47.8% of U.S. adults have one or two chronic diseases. 60% of the nation, 66% of the nation is way, you know, it's not like they're a little overweight. They're overweight. And 33% obese. So between those two stats, you know, imagine the impact that that does to the economy, to corporations, entrepreneurship, the workforce. I mean, half the nation is sick. You know, this is incredible. And according to the to this research, I have obviously the footnotes. If we keep this trend, by 2030, which is around the corner, half the nation, half of women and half of men will be obese. Now, and here's one other stat that the National Cancer Institute put together with the American Cancer Society. One of two men, Joe, will have cancer in their lifetime. And one of three women will have cancer in their lifetime. So, you know, it is, for me, I say in the book, surviving experience. I look back now, obviously I fought it. As a tennis player, I said, this is my toughest opponent in my life. Because, you know, in tennis, it's very individual. You either win or you get your butt kicked. There's no tie, you know. So you even playing with your best friend in college, hey, at that moment, I'm going to kick your butt or you got to kick mine. There's no tie. But that helped me because we had, with the national junior team, we had this guy they brought from, it was still Yugoslavia. The war over there when Clinton was the president didn't start. And the guy was an Olympian. And he taught us how to mental rehearse to prepare for our matches. Or if somebody, my dad was a Davis Cup player. So every time he came, and everybody, I was growing up, hey, George, you're going to be like your dad or better. And, you know, imagine, I don't know how to compare, like Michael Jordan's son. Oh, you're going to play basketball like your dad. Well, I don't know, man.
I'm going to try,
but... So I had that pressure on me all the time. And every time he showed up at a tournament, I would mess up. I just could not concentrate. So I had to work mentally in certain things. And this guy really taught us how to mental rehearse, which I used a lot in my healing process. But I decided to go natural on year 8. And the moment that I stepped out of that chapel and made that decision, everybody, my family, doctors, my wife, everybody, no, you're crazy. No, no, no. You're going to do okay. Keep doing it. And I said, look, it's not working for me. My gut feeling, which is our best coach, our intuition, is telling me, just find something else because it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And so I went out and against everybody. And the first thing that happened, I call in my book, Angels Started to Come into My Life in the Form of Humans. My best buddy and doubles partner, we became top 30 here in doubles in NCAA tennis, Division One. She called me and said, "Man, I'm so happy you did this." The only person, because she was in holistic stuff since she was 19 years old. So now this 40-year-old woman is telling me, "Look, this doctor in Palm Beach, this naturopath, helped heal my sister from hepatitis. Why don't you go see him?" And I went. I scheduled an appointment and went. And I learned some stuff that I would be so glad to give you for a giveaway for you and your audience. It is very valuable. Some great stuff in there. So you could do, like they said, now I'm taking advantage of this at the beginning of the year. I would help you. It's there. You have all the tools to create a roadmap to a better, healthier 2025 without dieting and all the stuff that doesn't work. You have to work on habit change and other things. Diets don't work. We all know that. I have family members battling. I don't know how many diets they've done already, and they work, but then 4-6 months later, they're back to where they were, because they didn't change any habits. So there I am going natural. This guy, meet this guy, and he does a non-invasive scan, Joe, that was not approved by the FDA. He brought it from Germany, but he had it there. And he actually did say that. It's not approved, but it's so powerful, you'll see. It's not invasive. So he put wires in my hands, in my forehead, my feet, and my heart. And he started the scan, and he had this screen in front of me. And the moment that he turned it on, I could see my body inside. And it was like the 4th of July. It was so inflamed of lights. And he says, "That's inflammation. That's acidity in the body." And which is, ironically, most of it is from the chemo, but you know, also what people eat, you know, a lot of refined sugars and stuff. And he says, "If we manage to balance your pH, you're going to destroy the environment. Yet there's no acidity in your body. So you're destroying the environment that this stuff strives to grow and duplicate. And eventually they don't have a place to live. So they're going to go. And that made so much sense to me. And then he gave me this, kind of like a metaphor saying, "Look, imagine you have a pool," which we had, "and you put too much chlorine on it. It's impossible to go in there. You're going to have skin problems, your eyes, if you swallow some of that, your hair, it's not safe. And, but imagine if that pool in there has all kinds of chronic diseases. On the other hand, if you don't pour enough chlorine, it becomes green. And you also have some issues there for health. You know, you get some inflammation and you get some bacteria that hurts your blood and stuff like that." So that was my first lesson in terms of, you know, let's say nutrition. I did a little better nutrition in college for better tennis competition. But to make it short, he did a detox. We did a detox for 21 days of the body. And then he did a second scan. And it was like night and day. There were still some you know, little spots somewhere here and there that were still acidic. But so we took a week break, and he says, "Keep juicing though. You can have your meats and stuff, but keep using juicing, and then we'll do a second 21 day phase." So we did that, and after that, I stayed. In a way, not vegan. I'm not a nutritionist as well. I don't believe in extremes like paleo or keto or completely vegan or vegetarian. It's all about learning. I teach my clients how to prepare balanced pH plates or order them in a restaurant. If you know, that's part of my giveaway. I have a little ebook in there that says a balanced pH on your health, but I'm also sharing an alkaline table that shows you which foods are acidic and which foods are alkaline. But at the end of the day, as I was progressing and I did have another craniotomy after I went natural. The stuff, it takes a while to really all reset. And then the two surgeries in my gluteus muscle, very, very, very deep. And so they had to really, but here I am, 10 years and 12 surgeries. It was really more than 10 surgeries, but I put 10 in my book. I'm here, and this past July, going natural. And I explained in my book, it was not only what I ate, but everything else. The holistic health, by the way, this is important to know, we're just not a body. We also have a physical body, a mental body, and a spiritual body. I call it the four legs of the table. If one of those legs is missing, we can't eat on that table. It doesn't stand. And what I find in many cases is that my clients might be missing two, or they have all four very shaky. So we have to work on tying them up and have a steady table. And so that's really the goal. It's interesting because the success stories, I cannot say, I'm going to heal you, Joe, if you do the work. But I won't take you if you don't commit that you'll do the work. Because, again, intention without action is, oh, yeah, I want to heal, but I want a magic wand. No, you got to do the work. And my protocol is we do a session and I give you some action guides for the week. The second week, I give you new action guides, but you have to keep practicing what you learned in the first week, and that's the same thing for three months, 90 days, and things happen. Some oncologists will say, "Wow, I don't know what's going on, Joe, but keep doing what you're doing. This stuff is going faster, healing faster than we thought. So we're going to reduce the chemo. We're going to stuff like that," and so they get really motivated. And some of them, towards the end, they say, you know what, I'm going to stop, but not from the very beginning. It takes a little while for them to see it and feel it, feel how they don't have so many side effects and stuff like that. So, so today, for the last 7 years, when it was October 2017 that I decided to just say, you know what, I'm gonna go into becoming a health and life coach, and I got my mastery in transformational coaching. I became a hypnotherapist, and all this stuff that would help the person heal. And here's something that everybody needs to know. When I talk, I have several keynote talks, but all disease, chronic disease, including cancer, they begin in, no exceptions, in an acidic body, a body that is inflamed. Tissues are inflamed. And so if we inflamed our bodies, we have the capability to reverse it. So that's what I mean from the inside out. And it works. There's nearly 8 million Georgians out there in the United States that decided to go the natural route. Since 1972, trillions and trillions of dollars on the pharmaceutical and chemos and stuff and medicine, and I think it's only $400 million on natural stuff. Of course, how can you patent natural stuff? It's crazy, but I don't want to get there. But if it wasn't for the surgeries, I would not be talking to you. So I'm not against the medical world, on the contrary. But I'm not fond of this pharma stuff.
And I've heard that quite a bit from some people that I'm friends with currently that are going through stage four, and it's metastasized through his whole body. And he's really exploring everything outside of traditional chemo and radiation at this point. And again, I would love to connect you with him and maybe have you talk to him, because I think you're so extremely knowledgeable, not only from your schooling, but obviously your actual experience. You went through this. You're a living, walking, breathing testimony for what works. And there's another individual that I read, and I'm sure that you've come across him in your studies, that talks very much about the pH balance and the acidity in the body, and that's the Iceman, they call him. He's Wim Hof, and he's a Dutch guy, same thing. Loved his book. It was very similar to yours experience. And but even like going to a dentist when your gums bleed or you're really sensitive, what do they tell you? It's inflammation. You have inflammation in your body. So there is definitely truth to understanding the balances in your body. I recently did a show with a gal who talks about hormone imbalances. We've done, you know, different dietary health ones, and it always comes back to that hormone and acidity balance in your body that really sets the stage for a healthy, you know, sort of foundation. So I love that. Where can we find your book? Obviously, probably Amazon. I'll put links up. But what's the name of your book?
The book is called Beating the Odds. Which, by the way, that's something that came to me when I got it diagnosed, because I said, I'm going to be the first family member from my Greek side of the family who survives this stuff. Can be. The buck stops here. And I said, I'm going to beat the odds. And so the book is titled Beating the Odds. It's Georges Cordoba. I'll send you a bunch of stuff, including the link, but it's in Amazon. If you look for Georges Cordoba and just put Beating the Odds, because he has a subtitle, My Journey Through Holistic Health to Overcome Advanced Cancer. And that's what happened. But I had to work on all the areas, because another thing that I didn't share with you is that all chronic disease has an emotional component. And here's the deal. People will continue to have recurrences until he or she finds the root cause of that disease, which is not hereditary. With epigenetics, we found out that nearly only 1-2% of diseases are cancers are genetic, hereditary. The rest is what we inherit is the lifestyle of our culture and the way we eat, and we don't sleep, we party too much, and there's just so much that I have in this protocol. And one last thing, because this emotional stuff, which as a hypnotherapist, I can tell you that it goes down to, like I say, 4 years old, 3 years old. We do some little bit of regression there. You are in control. You're in your subconscious mind. But we help the client realize what were this experiences that created this not this toxic beliefs. So we have to remove that clutter, because that clutter creates serotonin and cortisol, which inflame your body. Then if you are having, and here's something that people need to know, and this is from a nutritional standpoint, 25%, Joe, of our nutrition and digestion is what we eat. 75% is who we are when we're eating. The average American chews 6 times before they swallow, which is really you're calling for getting sick. We should chew between 20 and 32 times, depending on what you put in your mouth. If it's a red meat, you gotta go up there to the 30s. Which, by the way, if you do that, you enjoy it. You can enjoy very much the flavors and stuff. This is what happens. Digestion starts in the mouth. And so if you only chew 6 times, you don't give the saliva enzymes enough time to process the food, which is this machine, this perfect machine that we have. The stomach is not designed to receive this bomb that we swallow. People eat in 10 minutes, man. You know, they have to do errands and stuff. We are killing ourselves. I mean, believe it or not, that stuff, the stomach does not know what to do with this. And guess what it does? Sends it to fat. And that fat within days becomes acidic. But not only that, because the digestion did not go well, you didn't get enough nutrients in your system, and half hour later you're hungry again. And maybe you take a soda or something to calm down the hunger or whatever, or you don't eat all day, and then at night, an hour before you go to sleep, you have this amazing, a huge meal, 2,000 calorie meal. And guess what? So now you go to bed, which you're supposed to detox and restore your energy. You're supposed to go to do that with your subconscious mind. But the first 3 hours, the energy is going to digestion. So we really interrupting our human cycle of 24 hours. The moon is 28. The sun is 365 days. Our cycle is 24 hours, from which at least six to eight hours have to be to restore in your sleep, restore and detox. But many people it's all habits. And that's how we produce all this acidity. What I just told you produces acidity. If you're stressed out before you're going to eat, your sympathetic nervous system branch tells the vagus nerve, Joe is stressed out. So it's going to be a very poor digestion. This naturopath gave me this, this kind of like a story. Let's say you're having your nice lunch in a park, and all of a sudden you see this pit bull, just running towards you, and you see that you know that he comes to attack you. So you have two choices: fighting the beast or getting out of there. So what happens at that moment when you decide to go out there? You produce cortisol and adrenaline. It goes through all your body, get your muscles and bones ready so you can fly away. But at that moment, what happens to your digestion? It freezes. No digestion. Well, guess what? The sympathetic system and parasympathetic. The sympathetic system and your vagus nerve, they don't know if it's a pit bull or you had an argument at work, or you being stressed out in traffic. It doesn't know. For them, it's the same thing. This guy is stressed. So there are ways to trick your nervous system before you eat. And the key there, and for everything you do daily, take a few deep breaths. Take a few deep breaths. So your parasympathetic system says, oh, Joe is relaxed. Now you're kind of tricking it. And then it's slow. Chew more, instead of taking 10 minutes, I work with my clients. Okay, let's try now 15 minutes. And do a competition with your family. Let's see who chews more before they swallow. In the beginning is, chew. Tell me how many times you chew before you swallow. And even our kids say, oh, five times, six times. No, we're supposed to chew more to allow the digestion to process the food in our mouth. So there's so many things.
That's fascinating. Honestly, I've never really considered that as part of a treatment plan, but I mean, it does make sense. I've actually heard other sort of thought leaders in this industry talking about digestion starting in the mouth, and some that extremely advise against using like mouthwashes or anything alcohol based because it kills those good bacteria in your mouth that are meant to break down food. Absolutely. So there definitely is some truth to that, but I got to be honest, Georges, this has been like the easiest podcast interview I've ever done. I could just sit here and listen to you talk the whole time, man. You're so knowledgeable, and really, it's great information that you're providing, and I can't wait to get your giveaway so we can share that with the listeners. And obviously, qualavita.com is where they can find you.
Yeah. But
you also have your own personal website, which I'm looking at, georgescordoba.com, and that's ways you can engage with you as a speaker. But if they wanted to bring you on to help them like set up a game plan and to really purchase your services, what's the best way to go about that? Is that georgescordoba.com or Qualavita?
No, Qualavita. The other one is speaking, the speaker sites. I have it there. I send people that are interested to see some of the testimonials. But Qualavita.com and the stuff that I'm going to send you also my Calendly link. So if they want to have a clarity call or something to complimentary half hour, they can reach out and we can talk about what they're going through. If I see that there's an interest that person really wants to do the work, I'll give them an intake form and we'll take it from there.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I'll certainly get those links from you. We'll share that with our audience. I'll put that on and around the video when we upload this. Like I said, I do want to put you in contact right away with a guy that's currently stage four, and he's at that point where he's like, I'm surrendering to you, God, like, show me the way. So I would love to connect you two. I think that would be a great launching point. But honestly, I would love to bring you back on in the future, and I would love to go through your program and learn more about the acidity and alkalinity because you know, my family has cancer in it, you know, and it's, everybody. We're prone to it. And most people do, you know, or diabetes. And these are things that I know that I could be better at preventing instead of reacting to them. So yeah, I'll definitely hop on your Calendly link as well. But I really appreciate you coming on to the show today and sharing not only your experience, because it's very inspiring just to hear what you went through and finally just threw your hands up to God and said, you know, show me the way. And obviously, you know, I like that you said having the angels in the form of humans kind of guide you down some roads that you might not have known about. So God bless them. God bless you. And honestly, thank you so much for being on the show and sharing your story.
Thank you, man. God bless you as well.
Again, guys, this is Georges Cordoba with Quala Vita. We're going to link you up with him. Get in touch, especially even if you're just curious to learn more. This is a great resource for you, and sounds like he's got a cool ebook we're going to give away. So stay tuned for this to come out and The Measuring Post. We're going to learn and grow with Georges Cordoba. Thank you, sir, from Quala Vita.
Just remember, try not to become one of those statistics that I share. It is, we need to make the stuff change. I mean, we're not a healthy nation, and, you know, it starts with us. You know, we have to avoid being in that particular group. So anyway, God bless you and thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, George. Just look forward to connecting again soon.
Yes.